Phoenix Suns were a topic of conversation on Bill Simmons' podcast. Conversation between Simmons, who obviously knows his stuff when it comes to the NBA. Not everybody loves him, but he knows his stuff when it comes to the NBA. And then Zach Lowe, who's an NBA insider for ESPN. Great podcast, a lot of good information, a lot of good talk about the NBA. And as you would expect, a lot of conversation about the Phoenix Suns. Zach Lowe was talking about the tough financial decisions that are coming up for the Suns on Ayton and Bridges. It's a longer soundbite, but I want everyone to listen to it because there's a lot to unpack here. And then Gambo and I will react after. Here's Zach Lowe and Bill Simmons from the Bill Simmons podcast.
Ayton, to me, is one of the most interesting players in the league in the next 2 or 3 years. A guy who could potentially swing the balance of power in the league if he hits his ceiling or versus not coming close to his ceiling. Mikal Bridges is going to get paid a lot of money.
A lot of money.
I think people need to start preparing themselves for like the 4-year, $85 million extension.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 100, and I wasn't going to blink.
Or whatever it is.
If you said 4 for 100, I was just going to stare at you.
And Book is going to get what Book, he's already got his big deal. Cam Johnson will get a decent deal. Do they want to re-sign Chris Paul in 2 years? Maybe not. I don't know. Like, I think the money is going to start adding up fast. Like, if you give a max to Ayton, and you know, you can laugh at DeAndre Ayton getting a max. Number one picks who put up numbers like he does typically get the max after their rookie extensions or something close to it. The bill gets pretty big, pretty fast for Robert Sarver.
Zach, are you insinuating that Robert might have a history of maybe not paying for expensive teams?
I'm just saying it gets expensive. You start coming up on the that's the thing about being a young, exciting team. You blink an eye and it's like, oh my God, we're over the tax. We just paid all these guys.
I got 4 things to take away from that minute-long soundbite. Number one, the idea that DeAndre Ayton can swing the balance of power in the West if he hits the ceiling.
Yes.
Number two, that Mikal Bridges is going to get a lot of money. We've talked about that, but we can talk about it again.
Okay.
Number three, DeAndre Ayton, how much money is he going to get? Typically, number one picks who put up the numbers that he is putting up would get the max. And then number four, will Robert pay for it all when it's all said and done? Wherever you want to start, man, we'll just go the conversation
Robert's going to pay for it. Robert Sarver, you know, he does spend money. Sometimes he doesn't spend it wisely in the past, but now he is. He'll pay those guys. I mean, they paid Book the max, and they'll pay Mikal. I mean, Mikal's going to get, you know, around $25 million a year. He's going to get, and he's very deserving of it. You know, I looked at the Gary Harris deal as a starter. That was a 4-year deal. I'm going to look at his contract for about $84 million.
Yeah, that's right.
That's about $21 million a year. He's going to get more than that. He'll get more than that. So I think he's anywhere from $23 to $25 million a year for Mikal Bridges, and I think he'll happily pay it.
Look, of the 4 questions, the 2 that I am the least worried about are Bridges and the money. He's going to get a lot of money, and at this point,
okay.
I've got right. That to me is like an easier decision to make than DeAndre Ayton. 4 years and $90 million for Mikal Bridges, fine. 4 years and $95 million for Mikal, fine. I'm like Bill Simmons on this one. I'm not even going to blink about something like that. He's worth it. That's easy.
Yep.
That's easy. The second easiest question for me is, will Robert pay it? I think he will, because I don't think you come this close to being great after 10 years of being awful and not see it through to the end. I just think between the renovations at the arena, the practice facility, there's almost like a civic obligation now at this point to see this through. And I really don't think Robert's going to, even though there have been, you know, perceptually and sometimes reality questions about his willingness to spend, I really don't think that's going to be an issue here. I think the 2 things that I question, Gambo, both revolve around DeAndre Ayton. A, can he really swing the balance in the Western Conference? Is he that good? And 2, how much money is he worth when it's all said and done?
Well, I think I wouldn't offer DeAndre Ayton a max contract. After this season, I'd offer him a 4 or 5 year deal at about $20 million a year. That's what I'd offer. I wouldn't get up to 28 or 30. So you're looking to me 4 years for $80 or 5 for $100, but with a little bit of room to negotiate. I try to sign him for less. So, you know, I'm looking at 4 to 5 years at about 20 per. Not a max player, hasn't earned it. Things could change, but right now I don't see him as that. You know, when you're paying a player, you've got to know so many things about him. His character, his leadership, his drive, his work ethic. Can you build a team around him? You've got to answer yourself these questions. you know, the best thing that could happen for the Suns is that DeAndre takes an offer sheet from somebody else, because then you're paying less. You know, somebody want you, because you could give more years than another team, and you could give more money. You can give one extra year, and you can give 10% more per year. So matching a contract actually saves you money if somebody gives him an offer sheet. But he doesn't have any leverage if he signs an offer sheet. The only leverage is to wait 2 more years for unrestricted free agency. But nobody does that. It's too risky. Nobody does that. Somebody's offering you $80 or $100 million. You're going to wait 2 more years? No, you're not going to do that. You're going to take the money. Tatum, Mitchell, and Fox all signed after their 3rd years for around $195 million on 5-year deals. But comes with a caveat. They only get that money if they're all NBA first, second, or third team. If they're not, then they will get less money by about $30, $35 million, like a Jamal Murray. He got less. If you're not first, second, or third team all NBA, you don't get that. So that's where I think you are with DeAndre. To me, 4 or 5 years, about $20 million a year, and I think he takes it, but I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to offer up a second kind of theory on this one. You just said the best-case scenario for DeAndre is that somebody else makes him an offer and the Suns just decide whether they want to match it. I actually think the best-case scenario for DeAndre Ayton is that he plays up to his full level of capability, and we feel the same about giving him the most money we can as we do about Mikal Bridges. That, to me, is the best-case scenario for DeAndre Ayton, is that he plays so well where we don't even have to have a discussion about how much money he should make, that he proves his worth to such a level that we feel about him the same way we feel about Mikal Bridges. Just give him the money, right?
Because he has 40 games left in playoffs, so there's still time to do that.
Of course.
To make you feel like he's worthy of that. I don't know if we'll get there based on the way they play. I don't think this is designed to have DeAndre go for 30, 40, 50 points in a game. I think it's designed for him to get 15 points and 15 rebounds.
Maybe, but I do think, as we've talked about many times with DeAndre Ayton, there's a different kind of 16 points and 12 rebounds, right? There's a quiet kind, and there's the impactful kind. The other night against Charlotte, he had 16 and 10. It was a very quiet 16 and 10. His fingerprints really weren't on that game. There are other nights where you can have 16 and 10, but he's doing some of the other stuff that makes you feel like he's just more engaged. I just think for DeAndre, I very much want him to play at a level where we don't have to think about this. Yeah, give him money. Pay him. Keep this thing together. Don't let him go anywhere. But so far, he has not attained a level of security where you can say, pay that man his money and make sure he doesn't go anywhere. DeAndre Ayton hasn't come close to that consistent level of performance, say the way Mikal Bridges has so far. For me, best case scenario is he gets there. But like you said, is he going to get 40 more games left this year? Are we going to see that out of him? I hope so, but I don't know if we're going to or not. I don't know if we're going to have enough evidence in front of us to make a decision like that.
Yeah, you know, Murray signed like a 5-year, $170 million deal, but he wasn't like first, second, or third team All-NBA, so that cuts it. Again, it cuts it down quite a bit. So you could sign a guy to a big contract, but it doesn't mean he's going to get it. It's very dependent on him hitting that first, second, or third team All-NBA in the 4th year as to whether he gets that full money or not. I think you got to be careful with DeAndre right now, but again, there is time. Let's see what happens. But right now, I'm at 25 for Mikal. And I'm at about 20 for DeAndre.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, Larry Fitzgerald, the wait and the watch continues. Most of our audience said they expected it would take this long. We didn't. So what's taking so long? That's next on the Burns and Gambo show. Time for the Coors Seltzer. What's on tonight? Brought to you by Coors Seltzer. When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River. Got a lot on tonight. 6 o'clock tip time, Suns and the Bulls. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're going to be off a little early today because of that. Pre-game show covering up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the flagship home of the Suns.
I'm going to spoil the ending of another show?
No, please. Unless you want to issue another Twitter apology at the end of our show.
Cobra Kai.
No. Coyotes also in action tonight. They are opening up the first of two against the Colorado Avalanche tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff there. From Gila River Arena, and they'll play the Avs in back-to-back games. So local teams in action tonight, the Suns and the Coyotes, and the Suns game you'll hear right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. As we turn our attention to Larry Fitzgerald, a credit, Gambo, to our audience who answered a poll question a couple weeks ago about when it was going to be that we were going to hear a Larry Fitzgerald decision. 63% of the people who responded in that poll didn't think we would hear until next week at the earliest. So the majority of our audience, this was a couple of weeks ago, said, no, you're not going to hear it this week and you're not going to hear it next week. You'll probably go into the first week of March, maybe later, before we hear. This is the latest that Larry Fitzgerald has ever gone in making a are you staying or are you going announcement, right?
Yeah, should I stay or should I go now? The song. We don't know. We have no idea what he's going to do. I mean, we don't know. I mean, it's, you know, and every day there's some, you know, there's a story called on the Viking Age right now. Come on, Larry Fitzgerald, play your final season in Minnesota. Pro Football Network has a story. Will Larry Fitzgerald retire in 2021, looking back on his 17-year career? They're taking a look back now. So there's a lot of anticipation for this. But guys are retiring. I mean, we're seeing several players. Mike Iupati just retired. The Pouncey brothers retired. Was it Witten who retired? Yep. There's, you know, we're seeing players retire, and it's happening, you know, every couple of days. I mean, there's a guy just, okay, that's it, I'm retiring. You know, and I don't know what Fitz is waiting for, but I think, you know, whenever he decides, that's fine. Like, if it takes a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. I mean, you said that the deadline's probably March 17th because that's the start of free agency.
Yep.
So that's okay if it takes till March 16th. His career and what he's meant to this organization and this community, we are on his timeline, and there's no need to rush it. There's no need to speculate on it or anticipate what's going to happen. I mean, when Larry Fitzgerald is ready to tell us what he wants to do, then we'll accept his answer. Whether he's playing or he's not, we'll accept it and be happy about his decision either way.
Yeah,
it goes.
And that was all well said. I'm not even in a rush to hear. I'm just curious. You know, at this point, it just feels like normally, and based off of his history of his announcements when it comes to this, his history suggests by now we should have known. I'm not upset with him for taking his time. He can take all the time that he wants. There is sort of an artificial deadline out there, the start of free agency, because Larry is a free agent, and the Cardinals sort of need to know how much money they have to spend and what his decision is going to be. It's interesting, the last time we talked about this, and I didn't have a chance to read this on the air, one of our listeners, Bryson, sent you and I a tweet. You're at Gambo 987, I'm at Burnsy 987 with a Y, and of course the show account at Burns and Gambo. And he said, my Larry theory is that he hasn't announced yet that he's coming back because he's going to come back, but he's going to go to Tampa and try to win one with BA. And I saw that and I thought, well, I mean, I don't think that there would be any other place he would rather play for, but I guess if you were to handpick a team where he could try to go win one, being reunited with BA, I suppose, on some level makes some sort of a sense, but I think we've all been led to believe over the last couple of years, when it comes to Fitz, it's the Cardinals or nothing for him. He's made that very clear.
Yeah, that would be, listen, if he retires, not shocked. If he comes back, not shocked. If he played for anybody else, I mean, total shock.
Yes.
I mean, I haven't even thought about that for a second. It would just blow me away. I mean, I would have to really sit down and think about it. Like, you know, you want what's best for him, but like, if that, I don't think that there's any chance that happens.
No.
But could somebody convince him? I mean, could BA or somebody convince him, man, come play, try to win a Super Bowl your last. Maybe I'm sure that in his career that he's tried, somebody's tried to talk him into leaving the Cardinals and going somewhere else.
I'm sure there was always that suggestion of a New England flirtation for years, you know, the idea of going to win one on his way out the door. Okay, I understand it would take some processing to think about it, but your knee-jerk reaction, would you be upset if that's how this story ended for Larry Fitzgerald?
If he played somewhere else?
Yeah.
I'd be floored. But
would you be angry? Would you be?
No, there's nothing that he could do that can make us angry.
Okay.
There's nothing he can do.
I agree.
If he decides that he wants to go play somewhere else.
Yep.
I used to tell Shane Doan to go play somewhere else, so that way he could have a chance to try to win.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be angry by it. I would thank him, the only thing we're holding on for is that kind of rare, you know, career of like a Doan or of like a Jeter, you know, the Kobe, the guy who spends, you know, his entire career with one team and that's all he's known for. That's always an idealistic kind of pursuit to go after.
And it's a good question you had. It's a good question. It's fair.
It'd be great for Fitz to get. I don't think I'd be upset, though.
How could you be upset with him?
I couldn't. I'm sure some people would, but I couldn't. And again, this was just a suggestion from a listener. It's all pure speculation at this point. He has said on a number of occasions that it's the Arizona Cardinals or it's nothing. So I would really doubt that's a consideration here. But it is an interesting hypothetical to your point that we just haven't talked about very much. We've just assumed it's either here or it's nothing. I have nothing makes me think that's going to be any different. But it has taken a long time.
If this dragged on past the 17th and all of a sudden he hasn't retired or signed and he's a free agent, then we can have that conversation.
Then we can have that conversation. That's a good point. If we get to March 17th and there's been no decision and he's a free agent, now we have to start thinking, hey, is there something else going on here? But we'll see if we get an answer before that. Suns basketball is coming up. Dario Saric has officially been ruled out for tonight's game against the Chicago Bulls. So he will not play this evening. I would assume that would mean more minutes for Kaminsky. And remember, they called up Jalen Smith as well for this game. So maybe he gets a little bit of a look-see tonight. But Saric has been ruled out for the Bulls game. He will not play tonight.
Yeah, and he's been so good for them. You hate to, you know, he just can't seem to get on a roll where he's just playing for a long time. But ever since, you know, when he came back and he just spreads the floor and he passes so well. So, oh, they'll miss him, but they should be able to beat a Bulls team. They just got to control those two guards, White and Zach LaVine.
Well, that's going to do it for us here on the Burns and Gambo Show. Suns basketball is next. We'll see you Monday at 2.
Have a great night, everyone.